Boom, what up? Hello, bonjour, and hola, real leaders. This is Kevin Edwards, your host here, and I am so excited you're tuning in to one of our amazing experiences. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, real, and loaded with inspiration, guaranteed to support your impact journey. So sit back, enjoy the listen, folks, share a review afterward, and always keep it real. In 5, 4, there we go. 3, 2, and 1. Welcome everyone to this episode of the Real Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Edwards, and joining us today, folks, I am extremely excited for this episode today. We have the CEO and founder of Sensei. Please give a warm welcome to Miss Paula Telfer. Paula, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks, Kevin. Good to be with you.
And before the show, Paula, we were talking a little bit about brain training. Now, you asked about my experience in this. I told you I'm a beginner. I'm very curious about how to train my brain, often trying to do things to make sure that I can be at optimal performance throughout the day and also avoid things so I can be at optimal performance throughout the day. But before we like go into what the work you're doing at Sensei is all about, maybe give us some context, like an origin story or background into how this company Sensei came to be.
Yeah, for sure. So I started Sensei in 2018. So we've been at it for about 5 years. It's been a lot of research and development, but the impetus for Sensei was really when I had a dire need to train my mind. And really come out of a fight or flight mode that I was stuck in due to a motor vehicle accident. And I needed to reconnect with my body and tell it that it was safe and the accident was over. And I was unable to do that with traditional meditation methods, which I've been familiar with for decades. And I felt very, very frustrated by that and ended up having success with tech-assisted meditation. And found that to be very precise, very consistent, and you know, the engineer in me, the efficiency side of me, really, really liked that. And it was not just helpful in my recovery and moving out of that fear response, but it was actually very beneficial for me in terms of my cognitive abilities. Like I could see the difference, in my meditative practice. So in just the way that I, really arrived at my present moment and in my relationships, I was just generally happier. That was the response I got from loved ones, right? I just seemed happier after having done this sort of practice. So the idea was really, how do we make this available to more people so that more people can have a measurable effect from meditation in this busy world? So can we do something that makes technology be in the service of well-being?
I love that. And it certainly resonates with me. One of the things I've been working on recently is like holotropic breathing, because myself, mm-hmm. like I'm in this fight or flight mode that maybe you were in at one time. And it's very bizarre when you're conscious of it, where you're like, man, like I just want to run away. I want to quit. Like I want to leave, or, you know, I want to get super angry and fight this for no reason. And it's really bizarre and scary at sometimes. Tell me a little bit about like the natural meditations you tried first, and then maybe transition more into like the actual brain studies that you need to go through in order to develop this product.
Right. Well, actually the various meditation styles, maybe the best way to frame it would be this. If you look at Dr. Dan Siegel's work, and he talks about, he's done a lot of pioneering work in what it is to have a healthy mind. And he has three pillars that he discusses. And so one of them is around developing focused attention. And so focused attention is actually a style of meditative practice. Traditionally, it's to do with a single pointed attention associated with transcendental meditation, Tibetan Buddhist practices. But very practically, focused attention is developing our ability to control where our attention goes. So if you imagine if you're in darkness and you have a spotlight, it's a matter of being able to hold the spotlight where you wish to and sustain it there without distractions, without zigzagging, because there's lots of shiny objects around that are pulling your attention. And so that is one of the pillars, and that is one of the pillars that we train. So you can train that in traditional meditative practices. It just takes a long time. And I just, my experience is just that we are relatively impatient. You know, our society, our modern society, has become very impatient about results, measuring results, the time that we invest in practices for our well-being. And so we want something that is more tangible and more efficient. And so really it's a complement to, or could be for some people, a replacement to traditional meditation, where instead of just getting internal feedback as you're meditating and you're like, oh, my mind wandered, you're actually getting biosignal feedback from your own body. So in our system, it's both neurofeedback, so from your brain, as well as feedback from your heart and heart coherence. And so with that, you just learn faster. It's an innate property of our brains that they are neuroplastic. And so it's just a natural part of its learning system. So that's one of the pillars, is focused attention. The second one is about open awareness. So if the first one is more about zooming in, this one is more about zooming out. And so you can think of that as being in a very present, very receptive state, the optimal receptive state. And so in that, you can think about mindfulness meditation is like that, when you're just maybe in a seeing, hearing, feeling sort of state, or you're sort of in awareness and observing the content, right? Observing the clouds of your thoughts kind of passing through, right? And then the third pillar is really about loving kindness, is about bringing in an intention of kindness into the world and into your interactions. And so this is based on Dan Siegel's work, but it's really just a solid research body supporting traditional practices that typically you would only be able to attain through meditation. And then what we're doing is we're just bringing in tech to give you that real-time feedback straight from your bio signals.
And so if I'm hearing you right, the contraption goes on the brain, on the skull more so.
Yeah.
We'd love to see it. Absolutely.
I brought it here. So yeah, so it's a headset, set of headphones. It's got electrodes. Those are the big buttons you see here. Mm-hmm. And those are reading the electrical signals of your neurons firing basically at the skull level. So it's very non-invasive. This is just reading. It's not writing into your brain. And then it's giving you back that information through audio, through the earphones, and through visuals. There's an app that goes along with it. And so you're able to interact with your brain waves in real time. Right. And similar with the heart, there's a heart sensor on the ear cup as well. And then we're measuring the heart rate, translating that into heart rate variability, looking at the heart coherence, which is that sinusoidal wave of the HRV, and then giving you a real-time breathing pattern that we're adapting while you're doing the training to keep you in coherence. And then you're learning how to be in coherence and what coherence feels like. And coherence is really, it's sort of the first level of brain training, because what we're doing is we're balancing the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system response. And we're learning to connect the brain and the heart. And so when we get the heart rate into coherence, we actually see that the brain waves go into an alpha state. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very correlated.
Interesting. And for people just listening to this, if you could, Paola, just to hold up the headset there. Yeah. For people listening to this, you know, it kind of looks like, you know, a pair of, you know, normal Bose headphones, but it's got like a nice back spine that connects around the neck. It's got sensors that are placed on top of your brain. And it looks like something that, you know, you would normally just be wearing at work. Like, it looks very sleek. And so my question for you, Paola, is like, how often do you use this? How can someone incorporate this into their daily ritual?
Yeah, I mean, I use it a couple times a day. We've got it so that the sessions are about 15 minutes each, and quite impactful. So, you know, I use it in the morning. I like to kind of sharpen up in the morning. So I'll do like something like certain types of we have maybe 12 or more different types of brain training, because what we're trying to do is train flexibility. So in the morning, I'll train higher brainwave states. And in the evening, I might do more of a calm session to kind of wind it down. But there are weekends where I would do much, much longer sessions, more retreat style, more intensive, for sure.
Interesting. So what you were saying about the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems, which to my knowledge is like what triggers the fight or flight responses, like that tends to be, at least, you know, for me and for others that I've spoken to, like that is the trigger that everyone's like really trying to avoid. And it really does take a lot of work. It could be a family member, right? It could be someone at work. It could be a traumatic experience that might trigger those things. When did you start to notice, I guess, throughout your practice that the trigger wasn't really triggering you, I guess, in the same way as before?
Oh yeah. Well, for me, it was a very pronounced effect. And the reason was because, from my motor vehicle accident, I was stuck in a hypervigilant response, like just stuck. So I couldn't have, you know, I couldn't be surprised from like tapped on my shoulder from behind without going into a more of a muscle spasm, like, you know, full body. Like it was oh, really? Pretty intense. Yeah. So it was a very dramatic, change, you know? Yeah. So before I had done the neurotech assisted meditation, just the week prior, I had been in a car heading, you know, to a medical appointment half an hour away and had to actually turn around because I couldn't be in the vehicle anymore. So it was quite pronounced. But it doesn't have to, hopefully it doesn't have to be that way, right? So what we're trying to offer is people to have a more proactive approach before life's ups and downs kind of force us into the focus on mental wellness, right?
And there needs to be more, like I know mental health is beginning to get a lot more attention, right? And you know, 4 years ago, that's really like when I started learning a little bit more about it. But to me, like, I want to give people like an analogy just to kind of show where we are in this whole thing. It's like the brain is so unknown. It's like discovering germs for the first time, like during like the Black Plague. It's like people didn't really, they knew about it, but they weren't really sure until they put it underneath the microscope. Where do you think we are in like discovering the unlimited powers of the brain? Like, where are we in that conversation today, would you say?
Oh, very early days for sure. And I think part of it is a lot of the field is very segmented too, right? So when we were looking at developing something like this, we looked for experts across brain and mind fields, you know, neuropsychology, neurosurgery, right? Clinical work, research work, people that just measure versus people that just train the brain versus people that just stimulate the brain. You can see the breadth already. That's just on our team, right? So versus people who are just focused on meditation, all of that is important. So I think that we are on a frontier really right now with the way the tech is evolving and developing. You know, 10 years ago, it would have been unheard of to have something so small with electrodes that could be so high fidelity for the home, right? Let alone in a lab environment. So technology is enabling us to start building these bridges across the different fields of the brain and mind, and to do more exploratory work. So I think it's a very, very exciting time for sure.
And you know, every single leader I talk to, speak to, actually why I got turned on the meditation was because the CEOs on this program, that's what they say they would do to really get a clear mind state and be able to delegate and and I guess absorb the pressures of what CEOs deal with on the program. Let's talk about, you know, for the people listening to this, especially people coming to this show trying to enhance and optimize their leadership. How can it be used to help leaders be much more effective?
Oh, that's such a great question. That, I mean, I think there's just such a need for leaders to be self-aware and to self-regulate, right? And to show up for their teams and their business partners with full presence, right? So not caught up in their own stories, right? Not caught up in their own ego. I think that's how we build strong teams. That's how we build strong companies. And so when I think about leadership in this perspective of mind training, it's really about leaders, let's jump ahead a little bit. Like to me, a real leader would be someone who is committed to developing both their outer game of leadership and their inner game of leadership. And the inner game of leadership is what we're talking about with regards to mind training, right? The outer game is what we see. It's what they do, right? It's the skills they have, their competencies, radically, like very important, right? Very, very important. But it cannot be disconnected from the inner game. They need to be able to show up in a way that's not reactive, right? Show up in a way where they are creating open awareness such that they can receive with curiosity, so that they can be open to new ideas, create a collaborative environment. You know, that's sort of like the second pillar, right? The open awareness pillar. You know, obviously they need to have control of their attention. They need to understand what's important and what's not. There's all kinds of things flying at me. I need to think, are these things important? Are these things a threat? And very quickly shift to, this is where I'm putting my spotlight, right? So that's the first one. And then if I go to the third pillar, just to keep to that structure, that loving kindness is about creating that sense of presence and safety for those around you, so that they can actually be vulnerable. They can feel like their voice is heard. They can feel seen, because the last thing you want is to be operating in a vacuum where people don't feel safe saying, I think you're wrong. I have a different opinion. I have a different perspective. That would be really bad leadership and not be helpful to the company or the mission, right? So I think it really is about being very committed to saying, I am going to do the work required on my inner game, right, in parallel to my outer game, which is more the traditional approach.
I think that makes a lot of sense, and certainly, you know, for any effective leader to be effective, you know, you need to put in the work, to take the time to be in that right frequency, to be open and receptive, as you said. And so there's little things that can really improve your business, improve the culture on the team. Have you been able to, you know, incorporate this in for all your employees? And maybe what's been the impact of just having, you know, other leaders in the company, you know, doing these exercises?
Yeah, I mean, I feel quite fortunate that we're able to, you know, have this sort of mind and brain training for our employees at their home. And so that's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it, to complement it, is we also have a coach internally, like a human potential coach. Mm. So not just about their work performance, but about their life potential, right? So that people are feeling like happy. People are actually optimizing their sleep, right? Optimizing, you know, their relationships and things like that. So we are very focused on having a culture that is about growth, and growth meaning much broader than just work life. So some people on the team really have benefited very simply from improving their sleep. Like right out of the gate, that was, some people didn't realize they had a sleep problem until they started doing the sleep mission. And then they're like, this is amazing. This is really great. I actually feel more sharp when I come to work because I'm sleeping better, which is, you know, was a eureka for them, right?
And that's the impact you can have on employees, right? Like we made a shift to like a 4-day work week recently. And like, I didn't really think much of it other than, you know, the team wants it. Let's try it out. Yeah, might as well try. We've heard a lot of good studies about it. And the main thing that I guess I heard from one of our employees is that, you know, they're getting a lot more sleep now, and this has completely changed, you know, their energy levels throughout the day, and thus their performance. It's quite interesting. The also unknowns about sleep. Mm-hmm. What's been your experience with sleep, and how do you, try to plan out your sleep schedule?
Yeah, well, and actually, I'm thinking about your 4-day work week and just tying them together, because I think one of the benefits of that is being able to turn off from our devices, turn off from the demands of that external world. Mm. It's like, you know, not looking for emails. Having that third day in a weekend is probably just allowing the nervous system to really recuperate from having all the stimulus during the week. So for me, when I think about sleep, it's about not having, you know, blue light too late in the evening, like not watching TV right until you fall asleep, for example, right? Using blue light glasses in the second half of my day. I do hot and cold baths towards the end of my day to wind down. That's really it. I don't have an alarm clock. I very naturally wake up because I feel rested. That's something that I think it was a habit I developed during when I was recovering from my motor vehicle accident, because sleep was so important. Hmm. And then my body's clock just sort of took over, and I really prefer waking up without the alarm clock. So I can trust my body to do that now.
That's really interesting. Yeah. Without an alarm clock, I couldn't imagine that. Yeah, because I have to like set my phone in like a different room in order for me to get up, or else I'll just, you know, hit the snooze button. But, you know, it's a work in progress over here, Paola. Yeah. Hey, this has been a really interesting conversation today. I think if anyone's going to walk away from this conversation, it's certainly about, you know, how the inner game training and practicing for the inner game can really improve your outer game performance. And so I'm certainly walking away with a lot of valuable insights, Paola. But the one question that we ask everyone that comes on this show, and I know you prepared for it, is in all of this, what's your definition of a real leader?
Oh, right. And I think we touched on it already, but it was really about someone who is committed to spending the time on developing both their inner game and their outer game.
Love that for Paola Teffer. I'm Kevin Edwards, asking you to go out there, invest in the inner game and the outer game, and always keep it real. Thanks, Paola.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
Hey, ReLeaders, thanks again for listening to this amazing episode. And if you're someone like me who goes all the way to the end just to make sure I can extract as much information, education, and inspiration out of every single interview, might I suggest you check out our magazine. If you go online to ReLeaders.com today, you're going to get the first 30 days for free, where you're going to be able to access all of our magazines, courses, and live events from some of the top thought leaders around the world. All you have to do is go online to realleaders.com and click the subscribe button in the top right corner to get your free 30-day trial right now. Again, that's real-leaders.com. Thanks again for being a real leader, and always keep it real.